Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Up Show, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host, Afrida Love, and today I have a great teaching for you, but first, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the most humble way we know how. We thank you for this day. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. Lord, we thank you for blessing us to come on one accord and to have our hearts, our minds open unto you, Lord. We're asking, would you bless the revelation to be received by those who hear and those who don't. Help the words to come out of those who hear. Help it to come out of their mouth where they may spread the good news that you are God and you are still giving favor, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, as we begin to teach this session, I'm asking, would you decrease me all the way to nothing and increase you to 100+%, Heavenly Father. We recognize and realize that our wisdom and knowledge come from on high and not from ourselves. Lord, we thank you for crowning our heads. We thank you for building us up, Lord. We thank you for just helping us and keeping us, Heavenly Father. And we're asking you, would you continue to provide favor and continue to provide healing and continue to provide understanding and strength to those who are faint, Heavenly Father. We're just asking in the name of Jesus, would you touch those and heal those who need to be healed. Bless the bereaved families all over this land and country. Lord, give people something to praise you about. And we all know that we should praise you anyway, but some people have lost hope. If you could restore that hope unto them, Heavenly Father, then, Lord, when it's all said and done, give us somewhere in your kingdom. This is one of your servants' prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And today I'm actually on the cell phone. I'm testing this out on myself. But God is still good because I know that you're going to be able to hear me. So, therefore, we're going to go ahead and go into the teaching today. And we've been talking about who are you flying with, who are you rolling with, where are you going. And now that you have decided to follow Christ, I am going to tell you what we should expect. And these are going to be some things that you're not expecting to hear since you're doing the right thing and following Christ. These are the things that were given. And as I go down the list, I'm going to come back and we're going to go and elaborate what we're talking about. Okay, the first thing, now that you're following Christ, there's going to be spiritual warfare, okay? There's going to also be temptations and tests. There is going to be an expectancy from us to endure the storms. You're also going to have some benefits in receiving favor from God. You're going to receive blessings. The doors are going to be open and the doors are going to be closed. Let's go back to the spiritual warfare aspect. If we go back to Joshua 6, 1 through 27, and I'm not going to read those verses to you because I want to leave some curiosity to this lesson. Think about the Battle of Jericho, which is found in the book of Joshua 6, 1 through 27. Why was this battle so significant? This battle was significant because God ordered Israel to become the masters of Jericho, but Jericho was not having that. Jericho didn't want Israel to become their masters, so they were being disobedient. Let me give you a little history about this battle. First of all, this is the first battle of the Israelites. But during this battle, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. But what's most important is that there were two spies who were sent to check out Jericho. Okay, two spies were sent. And these spies remained with a woman named Rahab. And she protected these spies. How many of you know that when God sends you somewhere, amen, he's going to protect you and he's going to send somebody, a ram in the bush, to take care of you? And she begins to share her heart out to these two gentlemen and tell them how fearful the city of Jericho was of the Israelites, because the Israelites had a lot of influence. And they were very fearful, and they thought they were going to be held in bondage and slavery. So Rahab agreed to house these spies because they had nowhere to go, because they were in enemy territory. But the key is God sent them there to spy on this land. So she agreed to cover for the spies, meaning to keep them, you know, fed, keep them in her home. But she did have some expectations. The first one is that the spies wanted her to basically disguise her house, which she put up a flag. The second thing is they didn't want to be turned in. She couldn't turn on them and tell the people in the city that she was housing these spies. And thirdly, when the battle started, her family must be inside the house during the battle, okay? So the Israelites were led by Joshua, and they laid siege on Jericho, all right? And God, during this time, was giving direct orders to Joshua, and the city was destroyed, and the only ones left was Rahab and her family. And this is a prime example of being obedient to God. Once you follow Christ, she was going through those storms. She was in a battle, but she wasn't really in the battle, if you get what I'm saying. There was a battle going on all around her. That's why we sing that song, Jesus Be a Fence All Around Us. But because she was obedient, and because she took care of whom God sent, she was blessed and her life was spared. So how do we prepare for spiritual warfare? And when we're talking about spiritual warfare, we're not just talking a battle with guns and weaponry. We're talking about the inside struggles. We're talking about the everyday life struggles, the stresses, the things that give us pain, the things that make us upset, the things that give us setbacks. And if we look in Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18, and I'm going to paraphrase this, the Lord tells us exactly what to do in order to conquer those battles, in order to win in those spiritual wars. He said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord means to study the Word. Practice studying the Word of God. Put on the full armor of God, for evil days are coming. When we say put on the full armor of God, we do not mean go get your bulletproof vest and get your weapons. We don't mean that. Jesus said put on the full armor of God, meaning take on the image, amen, of God. Act godly. You know, instead of us using these street words, let's use some biblical terms when we're trying to explain a point to individuals. Stand firm. Don't flex. Do not flex the word of God in order to meet someone's need. God said it, and that settles it. That's basically it. We can't sugarcoat it. We can't make it sweet. We have to go by the word of God. Stand firm. Put on the belt of truth. Always tell the truth. Be righteous. Have on your shield of faith. No matter how bad the spiritual war looks, if it looks like you're defeated, if you've been knocked down, if you feel like you're about to die, put on that shield of faith. You have to have faith in God and know that God is going to bring us through. The helmet of salvation. Think about helmet, and I want to point this out because as I was writing this, the Lord showed me this vision. A helmet protects your head, okay? And many people anoint their heads with oil, amen? Jesus said when you are putting on the helmet of salvation, because salvation is free, when you're putting on that helmet of salvation, it means your thoughts, how you're thinking, what you're thinking, what you're doing. Guard your thoughts. Guard your mind so that you won't lose your mind and become angry and lose out on the spiritual war. And, of course, the sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God. Knowing your Bible, knowing the word of God. The second thing that's going to happen when you begin to follow Christ, or when we begin to follow Christ, is we're going to have some storms. How many of you know that it's going to rain hard, you know, sometimes, and we're going to be in storms. We're going to be caught in storms because we're not going to be at home. Well, in Genesis 10 and and 22. And in chapter 9, we find Noah. Noah is considered by God as a blameless and upright man. He's very obedient unto God. And he had three sons. We do know that. In the sight of God, God believed that the earth was corrupt. And basically, God said, I'm going to send a flood and I'm going to destroy every living thing. He said, but Noah, I want you to build an ark. He said, because you're found blameless and because you do what I ask you to do and because you're obedient, and I'm going to build a covenant with you and your family, and you and your family will be saved. And to make a long story short, when it rained 40 days and 40 nights and everything was wiped off the earth, Noah and his family were saved. So this tells you that, yeah, we're going to have storms, but if we listen to the voice of God and if we stay in the word of God, we will be saved. Will there be a second coming? You bet. But, okay, the thing is, being obedient to God will show us and lead us and guide us in the right direction when that time comes. Everybody's not going to be cast out together in the second coming, okay? It could be one by one. It could be a group. But the thing is, the whole point of enduring the storms is being obedient. God gave Noah step-by-step of what to do. He told him what to build. He told them how to build it. He told them where to go. He gave specific 40 days, 40 nights. If we listen to the voice of God, follow the word of God, we can endure the storms. Let's move on. Now let's look at, expect temptations and tests. Anytime that you are getting certified in something, anytime you go through something, there is always a test. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, there are 22 references about temptation. There's something in Matthew 6 and 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Luke 4 and 13, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Exodus 20 and 20, Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. Amen. And then in Genesis 3, we find that we as humans will be tempted just as the serpent tempted Eve. Okay? So temptation will come. Temptation will come by way of food. It will come by way of people, come by way of different things that you like. Temptation will come. But we have to revert back and put on that full armor. We have to be in the word, and we have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding unto the word of the Lord, because God is over everything. And just because you decide to make Jesus your choice, or because we have decided to make Jesus our choice and we're following Christ, does not mean that we're not going to be tested. Does not mean that we're going to be tried. I was reading a post earlier today, and someone asked the question, how do we know that we are being, what does the Bible say about tests? The Bible says nothing about temptations and tests. Well, the Bible doesn't come out and say it, but we see that the experience with Adam and Eve, that was a test. That was a temptation. We see the experience with Jezebel, test, temptation. It's all in the Bible, the Hebrew boys, where they're going to be faithful unto God, even though it was in the fiery furnace. You have to infer, you have to read and study the word in order to know, just like you have to know when there is evil present to flee. So knowing the word of God and knowing situations will help us to endure those storms. Now, there are some benefits to following Christ. And the benefits are that we receive favor. In Acts 13 and 30, it says, but God raised him from the dead. That's favor, because our days are numbered. And God raised him from the dead. Okay? How does one obtain favor? I'm glad you asked. In Psalms 5 and 12, for you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as a shield. Being upright, acting righteous, doing righteous things, treating people right, you will receive or obtain the favor that I'm talking about from God. Genesis 6 and 8, we're going back to Noah. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Well, when you go home tonight and you read about Noah or you Google Noah, you'll find that Noah was a blameless man. You'll find that Noah was obedient. You'll find that Noah did everything he was supposed to do, and he did it right. You will find that. You will find that Noah allowed God to be his guide. In Exodus 33 and 17, and it says, and the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Now, when we talk about this verse, because I needed a little confirmation and clarification about this verse. And God said, and I know you by name. You have found favor, and I know you by name. Why does God say that? Okay? That's not like God knows us by name, like, and he doesn't know someone else. What God means is there is a relationship between you and him, and you're not forward unto God. So when they call your name, Isabel, God said, yes, Isabel, the faithful one. You know, God gave Noah a name, the blameless one. So what is God calling us? What is God calling you? He says, and I know you by name. Meaning, and when I just said that, think about this. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not entertain. My sheep hear my voice. So therefore, if you are God's sheep, you're going to hear his voice, and you're going to be in conversation with God. And God's going to know you. And I know it really doesn't make sense, but I want it to make sense to you. So in other words, you're not that lost sheep that God is trying to find. You remember in the Bible, amen, where there was one sheep, and Jesus had to go find that one sheep. You're not that one sheep. God says, I know you by name. In other words, you're accounted for. You're present. You're here. I don't have to look for you. You're here. You're where you're supposed to be in Christ. You're where you're supposed to be in Jesus. Okay? So it doesn't mean that God doesn't know our name. He knows every strand of our hair and everything. But what it means is you're not that sheep out of the ark of safety. You're not that sheep that Jesus is going to look for. That's what that means. All right? So let's go back. So there are a couple of things, as I said before, and I have 12 minutes, so we're doing well. When you follow Christ, every day is not going to be Sunday. There's going to be some times when God is going to have to come and find you. Because for whatever reason, you ran away from the herd, okay? And every now and then, every day is not a perfect day. Sometimes we stray away from God and he has to bring us back. But when you're following Christ, you should expect spiritual warfare, as I said. I'm just recapping what I said, all right? Expect warfare. Don't expect everything to be peachy smooth because it's not. It's really not, all right? But in your spiritual warfare, if you're obedient, I guarantee you, you'll win. All right? You have to be obedient unto God and obey his commandments and listen to the voice of God. All right? Also, the second thing, how do you prepare for spiritual war? Instead of picking up guns and things of that nature, pick up the word of God. Be strong in the Lord. Being strong in the Lord means that you stand firm on what the Bible says. We don't flex it. We don't bend it in order to make someone feel better. Because the Bible is the Bible. That's the word of God, period, point blank. All right? That's the word of God. And we can't hold back and bend because we're afraid we're going to step on someone's toes. When the word of God is spoken in the Bible, that's what needs to be conveyed. All right? Speak the truth. That goes to the next point. Telling the truth, being righteous, being faithful. The helmet of salvation, how we think, and then counting on the word of God to bring us through the spiritual war. And during the storms, we talked about Noah. The only thing you need to know about Noah is Noah was blameless and he was obedient. Was Noah perfect? No, he wasn't. But he was obedient unto God, and he listened to each instruction that God gave. Then I came on and I told you about favor. I told you about receiving favor. I said there are some benefits, all right? And the favor of God is to those who are righteous, who are blameless, who treat their brother and sister correctly. There is some favor that goes on with that, all right? And I also told you that when Moses was speaking to the Lord, and when the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name, it doesn't mean that God didn't know Moses at first. It means that sometimes we go astray and God has to go find us. But when God says, I know you by name, that means that you're close to him, you're accounted for, and you are present. It doesn't mean that God is like, oh, I wonder what her name is, or I wonder what his name is, or I wonder what their names are. No. God knows you by name, and he doesn't have to go out and find you. You're not that lost sheep. Then I went on to say that I was going to talk to you about open in closed doors. And as I was writing this, the revelation of God, and I thank God for my help, came as a vision. And this is what I have. Just as we are to go into our rooms and shut the door when praying, and that's Matthew 6, verse 5 through 6, I paraphrased it, Jesus is going to close some doors. Unlike we are taught that doors are closed in our face, doors are closed before we get there, Jesus does not shut the doors in our face. Jesus will never do that. This is the revelation of God, and I want you to listen closely. Jesus allows us to walk inside a door, which leads to another door that he has opened. The door does not shut before you enter, nor will it shut after you enter. The door shuts when you enter into a new door, and that is why we have seasons. I thought this was very, very special, and because I have 8 minutes, I'm going to read it again because it came, and I'm serious, as a revelation, and it was a beautiful visual and really broke down what God was saying. Jesus allows us to walk inside a door, which leads to another door that he has opened. Now, mind you, I said walk inside a door. That may not be the door that you're going to stay at, but you're going to walk inside there because we have seasons, just like spring, summer, fall, and winter. The door does not shut before you enter. So that means that when you're getting ready to walk in the door, it doesn't shut, not by God. Maybe by man, yeah, but I'm talking about God. The door does not shut before you enter, nor will it shut after you enter. The door shuts when you enter into a new door, and that is why we have seasons. And Jesus said your past is what is shut in the door. So when you shut the door, that is the door to your past. And Jesus is taking you to your future. That's why, and here's another vision, we don't look back. If you look back, you'll turn into a pillar of salt like the woman who looked back. Jesus will never shut a door in our faces. And I used to think, and I'm going to be very honest, I used to think when I heard this, that Jesus shuts doors in our faces. He doesn't. Jesus doesn't shut a door in our face. He allows us to walk through the door to another door. And that's a new beginning. And because we are at the first door, that is only a season. Sometimes you pass through it quickly. Sometimes you stay a few months. Sometimes you stay a couple of years. But it's never a shut. Past is what's shut, not your present or your future. And I thought that was beautiful. And this also explains why people can get healed. You can be in a dead situation, and the doctors could say, there's nothing else I could do. Your heart could shut down. But God could raise you back up. He gives us a second chance. He never shuts us off unless it's our time. But I want you to know that God will never shut a door in your face. That's not the type of God that we serve. He will never shut a door in your face. He will let you walk in and pass through the door. But he will never shut the door in our face. The open door that I was talking about, once you go inside a door for a season and go to another door, is your destiny. And if you can survive those things, such as the storms, spiritual warfares, if you can survive temptations and tests, if you can be humble when you receive favor, I guarantee you that you will continue to walk inside open doors. But the main thing that I want to share with you on this Sunday is that Jesus will never close a door in your face. He will allow you to walk inside that door to get to your destination. That's why it says, yea, though I knock, Jesus is knocking because we are in charge of either opening the door or letting the door stay shut. God does not, and I'm going to say it again, shut doors. We shut the door on God because we do not allow God to come inside, and we leave God outside knocking on the door. And that's the vision. And I want to leave that with you. I want to be very clear. I want to say again, Jesus will never shut a door in your face. That's why we have seasons. That's why we have life and death. Jesus will never shut a door in your face. And I want to just, I can't reiterate that enough, because someone has lost hope because they feel like that's the type of God we serve, open and closed doors. Everything is open in the kingdom, us, if we walk in. There is nothing that is shut. It's a matter of us just opening up our hearts, opening up the door when Jesus knocks, so that we may receive the favor and what God has for us. So I want you to really think about that, and especially look at the part of open and shut doors, because that's not the type of God that we serve, okay? Now let's go to the announcements real quick. Be sure to continue to tell your family and uplift them, okay, by letting them know about theblogtalkradio.com. And I'm looking for my notes, but that's okay. I know what I wrote. blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. In addition to that, the fashion line is here, fashionsbylove.com. Be sure to tell your family about that. Thank you all for your support. I appreciate it. In addition to that, gospel artists, poets, regular artists, writers, publishers, public, please Facebook me at ALFREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would like to connect with you. I am writing 2 songs thus far, and I'm looking for some individuals who can sing it, and we can make a CD with it. In addition to that, once again, if you graduated from La Vega High School, please go to the LaVegaISD.org website. Go over to your right and look up alumni, and please fill out your information so that it can be on record. All right? I said that announcement. Once again, make sure that you connect with me on Facebook, ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE. I would like to welcome all of my newcomers, those who are already with me, those who are coming with me. Just be sure to stay connected with me on Facebook. My ministry is open to the public, so everyone can see what's going on with the ministry. Be sure to listen to the shows, the past and the future shows. And if someone asks you what that smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. And I would also like to congratulate all of the 2014 nominees for the Stellar Awards. I pray your strength, and I pray for each and every one of you. And this concludes the Love, Live, Jesus Up show. Be sure to tune in on tomorrow, as I will have Ms. Howard, who will bring us some health tips. So be sure that you tune in. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless you, and have a prosperous week. Thank you.